lost to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else could take your place, to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way, bring me back to you. Lord, bring me back to you. You're all
God, we truly, Lord, want you to draw near. And you promised in your word, Lord, you said if we would draw near to you, you would draw near to us. And Lord, I thank you for your presence in this place already. Lord, I know you're moving. And Lord, I know you're beginning to pour out your spirit in a special way. And Lord, I know you're going to move mightily today. You're going to move mightily at the conference at Skyfall. We thank you, Lord God, that even in the midst of all of this darkness and evil that's around us, Lord, that you are still pouring out your spirit. You're still moving among your people. You still allow us to enjoy the peace of your presence and the power of your presence. And I thank you for that. Lord, I ask you to be here as we get into your word. I ask you to lead me and guide me this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. I'm just going to tell you right now that I was back there and I can feel the Lord washing over me in just waves. Now, we had a good trip to Myrtle Beach. It's kind of weird at times. It's a tropical storm there. Our takeoff yesterday in the tropical storm, the pilot decided he wanted to get up through it as fast as possible. It felt like a roller coaster ride. But we had a good pilot. But we went up fast and steep. But it was fun. God took care of us. We had actually had a hard landing on the way there because the pilot was trying to fight the tropical storm winds because we landed right on the beach, basically. So he was flying over that. He was fighting that. So God took care of us. And anyways, there's no place like home, though. I'll tell you that right now. I like to go places, but I like home better. And I can tell you, I feel the Spirit of God here today, and I had him speak to me back there. I'm going to tell you what he told me. You know, we've been praying for a long time. We've kind of been through kind of a difficult time for the past, say, year, really 2 years. I don't know, some of you may not have, but I have been, and I feel the church has been kind of in this weird place. We've had a lot of attacks in different areas. People have been attacked physically and all kinds of different ways things have happened. But the Lord spoke to me back there, and he said, I'm moving in now. And that's all we want. That's all we can ask for. That's the most important thing that we can have, for him to move in. And you say, some people say, well, Pastor Dean, now the Lord is everywhere all the time, right? Yeah, but he manifests his presence in different and stronger ways than just his general, you know, everywhere all the time. And he'll pour out his presence in a place. And he'll actually, that's why they prayed, Lord, rend the heavens and step down, come down among us. And remember, even in the Garden of Eden, it said he would come down at a certain time. And it wasn't that his presence wasn't there, but I've said it this way. The presence of God is kind of the atmosphere around him. But the glory is when he actually steps into that. You know, because basically when you get his presence, sometimes you're just getting a little lingering of him, just a breeze. But when he steps in, that's when people, you know, fall on their faces. And that's when God begins to reveal himself to you in a powerful way. And that's when we talk about having seasons of revival, seasons of refreshing. God begins to move. And this is vitally important. You should have seasons in your life as a Christian where, yeah, you might go through a dark season or a difficult trial. But if you hang on to the Lord and you keep seeking the Lord, and definitely keep your attitude right, if you hold on to him, he's going to bring you out of it. And he's not going to make you endure it forever. He's going to give you some seasons of peace and rest and joy because we have to have that. I mean, I can't remember which psalm it's in. I think it's Psalm 27 where David said, I would have fainted if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And now that we're living in the last days in this evil, wicked generation, and there's just wickedness everywhere. I mean, y'all seen the latest wickedness coming out of Target? You know, I'm telling y'all, I haven't stepped foot in Target in probably 10 years. But boy, if there's ever been a reason to not set foot in Target, you got one right now, right? But there's this evil. It's just growing and becoming so bold and in your face everywhere. And yet the Lord has promised, you hang on to me, you walk with me, even in the midst of all that darkness and evil and craziness. And there's going to be seasons times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord. In fact, let's start with that. Go to Acts chapter 3, because the Lord's kind of shifted me in my message today. But Acts chapter 3, and I'm going to turn there myself. I have to edit these parts out when I'm doing the radio show. Acts chapter 3, let's go and read this. Now, of course, this is where Peter addresses the people after the healing of the lame man in the temple, where they said, "Silver and gold have we none." And the man, they told him, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And it was just, you know, a wild time. And Peter preaches to them. But he gets down to this part, and let's go to verse 19. I've preached on this before, but it's important that you see it again. But he says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." The times of refreshing. There's seasons where God is going to refresh you. And there's another thing that back there the Lord spoke to me, and this is for some of you. I don't know, this is a specific word for some of you, but the Lord said, I have seen your season of trial, and it seemed like it was never going to end, but I am going to bring you out of it now. Because there is a time of refreshing. There's a time of enjoying the presence of God and the peace of God and the blessing of God. Amen? And I'm going to tell you, I know, because I have walked through this past year, really 2 years for me, but the last year was one of the darkest, most difficult times of my life. The enemy brought everything he could against me, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. It was like he was trying to destroy and kill me in numerous ways. And I'm telling you, there were days I struggled to come to church and preach. But one thing I have learned through these 36 years of these different trials and tests and difficult seasons is all you got to do is hang on. Don't let go of him. Don't stop praying, even though it may feel like your prayers aren't getting above the ceiling. Never stop praying. Even if you just got to say, "Jesus, I'm just holding on to you. That's all I can do." Because I promise you, if you hold on, there will be a season of refreshing when he will bring you out of that. And he will let you enjoy his peace and his presence and his blessings. And I feel that for us as a church, that the Lord is going to bring us, he's bringing us out of that. And it's not just about Skyfall. Skyfall is just going to be a beginning of that for us. And really, we had a tongue and interpretation in a Wednesday night prayer a few weeks ago that said just that. The Lord said, "I am here." And he said that this is just the beginning. So I want to encourage all of you, our church family out there, our church family here, this is time right now not to ease up. You know, and two, what's the danger is when you start coming out of a trial and you start feeling good and you start feeling peace and things start going your way, to take your foot off the gas. We're going to coast for a while. Well, you know what happens if you take your foot off the gas of the car? It keeps going for a little bit. And then it starts to slow down, and then it stops. You keep your foot on the gas, because the enemy is still going to be out there trying to do stuff. You know, I just had a little thing. I won't go into this little thing that there was another little irritant that was bothering me. And I was just kind of tolerating it. So last night, I just said, "Lord, could you actually help me out with this?" Guess what? It was immediate. And the Lord said, all you had to do is ask. I kind of hadn't asked about it. I hadn't asked him to help me with it. You know? That's what I mean, too, is don't quit praying and asking him to help you. I mean, he doesn't mind that at all. I want you to go with me to Acts chapter, not Acts, I'm sorry, Psalms 116. Psalm 116. Now, I shared this on a Wednesday night, but not all of you were here on a Wednesday night. And, of course, we don't broadcast our Wednesday night prayer meetings. But I did share this because this is something the Lord gave me a few weeks ago as he was beginning to bring me out of this. As, you know, and I'll share some of this. Part of this was, you know, coming through 2 years of running for governor of Alabama and that schedule, and also continuing to preach every Sunday. I think I only missed 3 Sundays in 2 years because of the campaign. But that wasn't a day off for me because that means I was either traveling or speaking somewhere. But the problem with my foot, the excruciating pain that I was dealing with and the schedule I was keeping and the fact that I was some nights not sleeping at all and sometimes for days. You put all that together and then the devil attacking you with, you know, because witches are constantly agreeing together to curse me in there. And I can tell sometimes when it gets thicker and heavier. And so you put all that together, and then the doctor gives me a medication to try to help me that has actually made everything worse. And I was just like, that's it, I'm done with them. And I'm going through all that, and I'm going to tell you, I felt like I was down in a deep, dark pit. That's all I can tell you. And I couldn't even see light. And I've had only one other time that things were that bad, all right? Now, granted, there's people in the world going through far worse. I understand that. I'm not trying to say we all going to have our cross to bear and our trials to go through, our difficult times. But remember, the devil, he crafts them specifically, too. He'll craft his attack particularly for you. What is your weakness? What is your, you know, whether it be a physical weakness or a mental weakness or a spiritual weakness, he'll craft it where it all attacks you right there. Perfect. Because that's what he does. I mean, that's his specialty, right? He's the lion seeking whom he may devour. So he's the expert at finding weakness. And then marshaling his forces, he doesn't operate alone. He has multiple pronged attacks, coordinated. He's a military strategist. And this is why Jesus warned Peter, said, the devil's desire to have you, he may sift you as wheat. It's why he told them in the Garden of Gethsemane, you better pray. He said, the flesh is weak, the spirit's willing. And he talked about the human spirit, like I talked about last week. He said, the human spirit's willing to follow the Holy Spirit, the one that's been converted, the one that's been born again. He said, but your flesh is weak and the devil's coming. And he even told them, the prince of darkness is coming, but he has nothing in me. Well, you know what? That ought to scare you because he does have stuff in us. He has places that he can attack. He had no place to attack Jesus. Spiritually, man, I mean, nowhere he could be successful. But with us, he's got places he can be successful, and he knows it. So these times of testing are something else. But again, the Lord said, and this is why I love the Psalms, because David said over and over, let's look at Psalm 116. In the context of all this, he said, I love the Lord because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. Oh, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Never give up. What David was saying here was the psalmist, whoever it was. I guess these weren't David. But what he's saying here real clearly, I'm not going to ever quit calling upon the Lord, because you know what? Yeah, it may be difficult. He's going to say here in a minute that he was greatly afflicted. But he called upon the Lord, and the Lord brought him out of it. Somebody ought to get happy about that for a minute. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to let you stay in that forever. That's not his way. But those tests and those attacks from the devil are there to make you give up on him, to make you become offended and angry at God that he's not doing what you want, when you want, and that you're having to suffer. That's what it's about. It's about trying to change your attitude toward him. And that's why I love this when he said, I love the Lord because he didn't leave me alone. Come on, somebody. Listen to this. He said, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. And then he begins to describe what he was going through. He says, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold on me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And the soul, remember I talked about it last week, the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. This is the area that we struggle. This is the area the devil attacks our minds. He attacks our emotions. He attacks our, sometimes even with confusion, our ability to make decisions. And I mean, I've been honest with the Lord sometimes, and it's okay to be honest. Say, Lord, I'm confused about things right now. I don't know why this is going on. I mean, I remember I was at the point a few months ago, it's like, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do 4 days of being on my feet all day and possibly not sleeping. How in the world can I do a conference? Yet you told me you want me to do a conference. I don't believe I can do it. And I would just cry out to him, you got to help me. I ain't going to be able to do this, Lord. And man, I would have wanted it to be done months ago. But he did it in his time. It's never our time that he does anything. Y'all just go ahead and get that settled right there. You think you pray about something? I want this now. It's very rare. Very, very, very rare that you ever get it right then, okay? Because there's got to be faith between the asking and the receiving is the testing, and that's where you need faith. Because faith says, I know he's going to do it. I've asked him, I believe it. I don't see the results of it. I don't see the answer. But he will not leave me because I've chosen not to leave him. And I mean, I have laid on my bed at night after days of no sleeping and living in pain. And I have laid there and said, if I die here, I'm not leaving you. If you're just going to let me die, then I die and I go be with you. When I had COVID and I was at death's door, I said, Lord, if I die here, I'm going to be with you. But I was asking him, heal me, save me. I don't believe it's time for me to go yet. That's why he said the sorrows of death, the pains of hell. Ever felt that? Go through a season. I'll tell you what, the devil likes to attack people with a season. And here it is. I'm talking about Christians that love Jesus, that are on fire for God, that are filled with the Holy Spirit, can go through seasons of just absolute despair. And don't think you're somehow abnormal or you're not like other people. You see other people that got joy and smiling, you're like, I want to kill them. Nah, I'm just kidding. But you do look at them and go, I'm a little jealous. I wish I could feel like that. I remember when my wife would go to sleep, like we lay down in bed, just she's out. And I that used to be me. And I was just like, I'm so jealous now. Of just sleep. Just sleep. I heard somebody talk about, I only slept 6 hours last night. I mean, I wish I could. Let's keep reading this. He said, he cried out. Let's go back to verse 4 again. He then called I upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. So, you know what that shows me? Even if some of it's our fault, God is still gracious and merciful. Can I tell you something? You are not going to live this Christian life perfect or sinless. I don't care how hard you try. You should try, but I don't care how hard you try. All right? You're going to come to the point where you understand, I need mercy. And mercy is that undeserved kindness. And I laid there in that bed from midnight to 6 a.m. sometimes. So my body's so tired it just hurt from one end to the other. Just begging for an hour of sleep, right? And folks, let me tell you, when you don't sleep, let me tell you, that's how they torture people. Pain and sleep deprivation. That's torture. And it was torture, and it starts to wear on your mind. But I would say, Lord, I know I don't deserve healing. I don't deserve anything I ask for. This is when you get low. You're like, I know I'm asking for these things and I need a miracle and I need healing or I need deliverance from this attack. And you're like, but then you realize I don't deserve it. Because still, even in my best state, I'm still a sinner. I'm still a human being that is completely not worthy, no matter how many good deeds that I have done or how much righteousness I have displayed, I still am unrighteous and don't deserve it. Because a lot of us, you know, the faith movement was like God's going to do it because he owes me. No, he doesn't owe you anything. You better, you're going through a dark season. You're going through pain or a physical problem or you're being attacked mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You're going through this dark place. You better humble yourself and say, Lord, if I have sinned against you, if I'm doing something wrong, and you better start confessing your sins and asking for mercy. There ain't none of you angels in here. And that's why he said, the Lord is gracious and merciful. Look at verse 6. He said, the Lord preserveth the simple. You know what the simple is, right? Some people say they think that's stupid. No, the simple, we just keep it simple. Because let me tell you, when you're in a trial, deep theological teaching is not what you really want to hear. All I need is God to touch me and deliver me from this situation. You don't have to have fancy King James prayers. I remember just laying there at times just saying, Lord, please help me. That's all you can say. Jesus' name, Jesus. I know you died for me on that cross. I know you took the stripes on your back for my healing. I kind of need that now. Just keep it simple. Kind of need you, Lord. He said, the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low. Can I stop there for a second? This is really good for us. See, the reason the Lord allows these trials and these difficulties, these seasons, is because if he didn't, we would become very prideful people, thinking we're better than everybody else. We'd be like the Pharisees. I thank God I'm not like other men. No, buddy, you're so messed up thinking that right there. And that's what Jesus told him. He says, I was brought low. But see, when you're brought low, when you're humbled, when you're broken down, when you're in the dust, when you're in the pit, when you're saying, I don't deserve anything, I need your mercy, Lord, undeserved help, kindness. When you're down in there, it's the best place you can be, because it's the humble that get lifted up. He gives what? Grace to the humble and what? To the proud. He resists the proud. What is a pride? What is pride? Pride is thinking, look, well, I'm doing pretty good. Look at what I'm doing. Look at how righteous I am. Look at what God's doing through me. That's a scary place to be. So that's why we have to go through these seasons. Because pride is something that's just, it's in there. It's not going away. And sometimes if we water it, it'll get out of control, like kudzu. And for those of you who don't live in the South and understand what kudzu is, look it up, because we can't stop it. The bamboo and kudzu. But pride's always there, even in the Christian. It's always lingering to want to rise up and sprout and become a problem. And so the Lord knows what he has to do in each of us, what he has to allow us to go through to keep us, our pride, from taking over and becoming uncontrollable. So he says, I was brought low. And I like the next phrase, comma, and he helped me. There ain't nothing better than the help of Jesus Christ, his Holy Spirit coming down and beginning to move and beginning to help you and to do the things that you cannot do, that nobody can do. Nobody can do for you things you cannot do on your own, in your own strength, your own will, or your own mind. See, that's what I wish the world would understand. The reason the world is so miserable, the people living in the world, they're so miserable, is because they're trying to live this life in their own strength. I can't think of anything more miserable than trying to live in this world in your own ability, your own strength, your own mind. And see, some of them that start getting, you know, that are become very successful because of their own will, strength, and mind, and gifts and talents, they become what? Locked in their pride. Remember, even Lucifer, whose real name was Hallel in the Bible, when he was an angel, what caused him to be lifted up in pride? Because he had beauty and he had great wisdom, and God had given him great talents. He was had built-in musical instruments so he could sing. And he had this instrument he could play. I mean, his name, Hallel, means praise. That was Satan's original name. And you think about that, it says, because of his wisdom and his beauty that God had given him, he became lifted up in pride. And basically said, hey, I will do this, and I will do that, and I will. And you know what? I'm going to set my throne above the stars of God. I will be, listen to what he said, I will be like the Most High. And that's when the Lord said, when you start thinking, I will be this, I will be that, look what I'm going to be. And the Lord said, no. You will be brought down to the sides of the pit. Even Paul said that the thorn in his flesh, and I'm not even going to argue with anybody. I know what it is. I don't care what you think. Bible tells us. We don't even have to guess. But he said that he besought God three times that that would leave him, and it didn't leave him. And the Lord said, my grace or my help is sufficient for you. Because grace is God's Spirit helping you live your life, get through it. He said, But Paul said that it was there so that he would not be lifted up in pride because he had received an abundance of revelations from the Lord. I mean, Paul was allowed to go to heaven and hear what he said were things that he was not allowed to utter. I mean, Paul knew things he couldn't even tell us. Right? It would be easy for a man that had Jesus appear to him and then teach him 3 years in the wilderness, in the deserts of Arabia, who had been to heaven, who had had so many visions and revelations from the Lord, and the Lord teach him personally to be thinking that he was something. But what Paul would say was, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the least of the apostles. But I'm going to tell you right now, I believe he was the greatest. And Paul went through, God told him, you're going to suffer great things, many things. I think about what Paul went through. I don't know about y'all, but I hadn't been beaten yet with rods or whipped and thrown into jail. And, you know, our jails are like nice hotels compared to what they had back then. They were usually just dark, dreary, wet dungeons with no toilets. Can you imagine? Imagine chained up in one of those places while your back is sliced open, completely just cut open. I can't imagine that. You know, I can't imagine today. I saw an article last night where there was a family that had two little children in North Korea. Two little children. And they got caught with a Bible. And their two little children were sentenced to life in prison in North Korea because the parents had a Bible. We don't understand persecution and suffering like that. I can't imagine it. But even in that, you know what? Even in that. I mean, when Jeremiah was down in that dungeon, he was like, I did everything the Lord told me to do. I said everything he told me to say. And here Nebuchadnezzar's come in and destroyed everything. And even my own people have turned against me and thrown me in a pit. And now everybody's run off. I mean, he's surely thinking, yeah, well, here with it. Wonderful to serve the Lord, eh? Right? Thanks, Lord. But what happened? God always sends back somebody, made sure he got food, and then got him out of there. And then the Lord told him, I'm going to bless you and your little remnant. In the midst of all this chaos and destruction and judgment, the Lord said, I'm going to take care of you, Jeremiah, because you were faithful to me. And I'm going to take care of your little remnant you have. See, you hang on to the Lord no matter how bad it gets. And see, that's what it means, too, about not loving your life even unto the death. See, if I'm Jeremiah down in that pit, I say, well, Lord, if this is it, this is it. I'm okay with that. I remember when I went to Nigeria and they basically arrested me and kept me in a cell for 12 hours. And then at midnight, three soldiers with guns, AK-47s, marched me out into the darkness. Not a place you want to be. But I am not joking you. That entire day, I had the peace of God upon me. And when they marched me out into the darkness and we just kept walking and walking and walking and it got further away from people, I thought, and I said to the Lord, I said, well, if this is it, I'm ready. And then they didn't say a word. I tried to talk to them. They wouldn't say a word to me. They were Muslim soldiers, too. Say a word. I thought, well, They're not Christians. And we walk through, I've told this story, but it was like hangar after empty hangar after empty hangar, like 500 yards, 500 yards. I was like, man, where are we going? And then we get to through this last long empty hangar at the airport, and the door opens, and that little KLM Dutch aircraft sitting there, 747, with the stairs down and the door open, waiting on me. I didn't know it was waiting on me. We walked all the way over to it, and the soldier said, it's the only words they said to me in 12 hours, go. And I'm like, the Lord has helped me. I'm going up the steps. And they seat me in first class. And that's nice first class. So I went from thinking I'm about to be executed to sitting in first class flying to Amsterdam. The Lord has helped me. Amen. I know what it is to hear bullets go by my head. I've been shot at multiple times. Not once, multiple times. I've had Satanist groups in the country actually send assassins to shoot me multiple times. I've told the story of the young lady I led to the Lord years ago out of Satanism. They told her, we're going to kill him. And I was coming back to where she lived at the time, driving through the mountains of Arkansas. And I drove through, and there was this little curve where I mean, I'm talking about like this 200-foot drop, so you have to be careful. And I was slowed down around this curve and go on into town, and it's Halloween, and it was a whole fun day, right? It was Halloween 1987, I remember, because the next day, November 1st, me and Billy McClendon drove all the way back here to Alabama on November 1st, 1987. But I can tell you this, what was wild about that was a little while, just a few months later, I have to go back out there to help her and these other people with a little situation. And while I'm talking to her, I have a full word of knowledge, vision. I see me driving in that black car, Billy McClendon. He had a Grand National. And I was driving because he was still in a neck brace from the accident that he'd had. And I'm driving around that curve, and I see in the woods a man with a high-powered rifle and scope pointing it at me as I'm turning very slowly. I mean, it would have been easy. He wasn't probably any further from me to you guys over there. He was in the woods. We're on the road, and he was pointed right at me. And as I see this word of knowledge, this vision, I see a bright light blind him like the sun in front of his face and knock him backwards to the ground. The rifle falls off to the side. So I just told her what I saw happen. She started crying, freaking out. The people in the room started freaking out. They were like, how could you know that? They said, that's exactly what the coven did. They were going to kill you that day on Halloween 1987. But the Lord helped me. Amen? Somebody say, the Lord helped me. And the Lord's going to help you. All you got to do is just stay with him. Even when you don't understand. Even when it doesn't make sense. Even when you're suffering, even when it seems like he's late, you hold on and he will help you. And that's what I'm talking about. There are going to be seasons where the Lord reaches down and takes hold of you and pulls you up out of that pit. And you're going to see the light again. And you're going to feel the peace again. And you're going to feel joy again. And you're going to feel strengthened spiritually and mentally, emotionally, and physically. And he's going to heal you. He'll heal you of a spiritual wound. He'll heal you of a physical problem. Or you'll begin to get supernatural grace to handle what you're going through. You just all of a sudden, you know, I'm not out of the woods yet with this foot. It's healing. It's getting better. But it's still not all the way. But I got grace to handle. I got joy again. I got peace again. I can sleep. And I know my enemies out there hate to hear this, but the Lord has helped me. You thought you were going to kill me, but the Lord has helped me. His name is Jesus. See, that's why the Satanists that I led to the Lord early on in my walk with Jesus, they tried to kill me with their curses, their spells, and even assassins, bullets. Didn't work. That's why some of them came to me and said, we know Jesus is more powerful than our master Satan. So yes, he is, because he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords and the God of all gods. And his name, Jesus, is the name above everything. When he says, I called upon the name of the Lord, yes, back then the only name they knew was Yahweh, Elohim, El Shaddai. They knew those names because the name of Jesus was going to be was hidden from them. But now, the name that is above every name that God has is the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's the name you call upon. The Jesus who died on the cross for your sins, the Jesus that rose from the dead on the third day, the Jesus of the Bible. You call upon him. And you hang on to him and you use his name to resist the devil, you will receive help. He will not leave you or forsake you in it forever. And if he decides that it's your time, then so be it. I promise you this. If you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you are going to be a martyr or you're going to die before the rapture happens, let me just tell you this right now. He will be with you in the moment of your death. And you will have peace because he has delivered us from the sting of death. I promise you at the moment of your death, you're going to be like Stephen, who just saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the glory of the Father. You ain't going to be, you're not going to be feeling the stones. You don't have to worry about death. Death has been defeated. I remember God gave me a dream when I was 16 years old that I actually, in the dream, died in a nuclear blast. I mean, I saw it at a distance, and the heat and fire finally reached me. And you know what it felt like when it hit me? Not a burn. I've burned myself. Didn't feel like a burn. It felt like a little warm breeze. And I knew I was dead in the dream. And I said in the dream, now I know what it feels like to die. There was no pain. There was no sting of death. But yet I was fully aware of everything going on. It's like nothing stopped, even though my body just got disintegrated by an atomic blast. It's like it never even flashed. It's like I just walked from one room to another room. And I was totally at peace. And I was like, I'm good. Say, Pastor Dean, you are crazy. Look, I've told you, I've had people assault me physically for preaching the gospel to them. And, you know, I was a fighter back in the day, martial arts, the whole nine yards. I know what it feels like to get hit in the mouth, in the ribs, in the stomach. I've been punched, I've been kicked, and everything else. I had one fight I got in, I got beat in the back by a bat, a baseball bat. So I know what it is to get hit. But when I was preaching the gospel and those people assaulted me, I didn't even feel it. Now, I'm not saying we won't ever suffer pain, but I'm just telling you, the Lord helped me, right? It was funny. The guy that was trying to punch me in the stomach, which I could have whooped this boy so bad, but I just let him. I just stood there. It's like he couldn't hit me. He'd get about right there. I was thinking, you look stupid. And there was one person that actually punched me, and they managed to hit me right here, and they actually managed to cut me open. I was bleeding, and I didn't feel it. That's what I'm saying. The Lord, somebody say this with me. The Lord Jesus is with me, and he will help me. Look at this. Let's keep reading this. Y'all don't mind. It's not even 12 o'clock. Man, what an introduction. He said, the Lord, verse 6, we'll read again. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Boy, look at that right there. Is that not? He said, look, I was delivered. My soul was delivered from death. Patrick, the Lord, the devil's trying to kill you. The Lord's going to help you. I know you've been having a lot of physical problems. You hang on that he's a healer, that he's a deliverer. He's going to help you no matter how long this has gone on with you. You keep believing him, and he's going to help you. He says, for the Lord has delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Look at what he said, verse 10. I believed. There it is. I believed he would heal me, deliver me, be with me, help me make it through it. I didn't let go of him. I didn't get angry. I didn't get offended. I didn't turn back to my old life, to sin. A lot of people run back to their old sins because that's a comfort to them. They run back to, you know, watching too many bad movies or too many bad, really bad movies. Or they run back to alcohol. They run back to illegal drugs. Or they just run to something to find comfort instead of just running to him and trusting him. He said, I believed. Therefore have I spoken. Oh, wow. I was greatly afflicted. Somebody say greatly afflicted. We're going to go through some great affliction at times. It says, I was greatly afflicted. And then he says, yeah, I believed God. I kept calling upon the Lord. He said, I've spoken these things. But he also spoke some things that where he expressed his trouble, where he was troubled. He said, I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And this is realizing, you know, how much God has blessed me. This is something you have to do. And I did this during this dark season. I remember laying in my bed at night so attacked, so oppressed, so miserable. And I would say, Lord, thank you for my home. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my daughter. Thank you for my church family. Thank you, Lord. You have blessed me with so many things. And this is why you got to make yourself think about the blessings when you're in the dark pit. I know this is for somebody today. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, the cup of salvation. This is when you get back to the basics. This is when I would get back to and say, Lord, I remember laying there again in misery saying, I thank you saved me from the sin I was living in, the darkness, the deception. You brought me out of darkness. I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm walking in the truth of your word, all because of you. Thank you for the cup of salvation. Thank you, you died for me on that cross and you rose from the dead. And if you never did another thing for me, that's good enough. If I suffer and die here now, I want to make sure I'm going to be with you. That's why he said, I will take the cup of my salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Basically, he said, I will do what I said, Lord. I will do what I promised. You know, all of us Christians at some point say, Lord, I love you and I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. And I'm willing to go through whatever I need to go through. Really? Be careful. But when he's saying here, I will pay my vows, that means I will do what I said. I will keep my promise to you, Lord. I'll keep my promise to my spouse. Uh-oh. I'll keep my vows. And then it's interesting because in this prayer and in this praise and this whole discussion he's having here about deliverance and help, he says this, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. See, that speaks. That's the comfort to you, that there is a day. If, like I said, if you don't live to the very end, to the last day, and that you're one of the ones to be raptured, then other than that, all of us have an appointment with death. It's not a pleasant thing to think about, but we all have an appointment. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You have an appointment with death. But if you're walking with Jesus, if you're hanging on to him, if you're trusting him, if you're calling upon his name, if you've refused to be offended and you've refused to backslide and fall away, even the day of your death is going to be a precious moment. You hear me? A precious moment. That he is seen before you get there. And he will be with you in that moment like you can't believe. It was beautiful things when you see some of these older saints that have walked with the Lord for many, many years. And they're getting ready to die. There's not a fear in there anywhere around them. My grandmother, I remember she told me, she knew she was dying. In my last conversation with her, I'm ready to go home. No fear. I mean, in this world, can you think of anything better? Remember Paul said, if you have hope in this life only, you're all men most miserable. My hope is not in this world only. My hope's way, way, way beyond this world. And really, that's the only way to have any peace. Because as we watch what's going on in the world, there's no peace there. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse by the day, and it's going to get worse. And if that's all you look at, and if your hope is to somehow always just be blessed and prosper and survive here, if that's your only hope, then you're going to be miserable. If you're afraid of the day of your death, that's going to bring on misery. The fear of death is misery. But see, the only person that can truly not be afraid to die, I mean, granted, there's some stupid people out there that don't understand what they're about to face. But for a Christian, a born-again Christian who knows Jesus, walks with Jesus, hears the voice of the Lord, there should never be fear about that. Some of you are worried. We talk about the things that are coming upon the world, and you're terrified for your children. Again, that's another area that you got to absolutely trust God to be with them and protect them and deliver them and help them no matter what happens. You know, I can tell you, testify a little bit about what a little child. I remember the day my great-grandfather died, Mr. Noah Jackson Jones. I love that man. I was a little guy. He died when I was about 5 years old, but I hung out with him. I mean, he had me shooting a rifle at 4 years old. 4 years old. Nobody else would do that, but my great-grandpa would, Papaw. And I remember the day he died. I was there. I was in the house that we live in now. Because he told everybody when I was crawling on the floor there, that when I'm gone, he gets this house. So they kept that. So that's why I have the home that I have now. It's built in 1922, and we've had to fix everything. And we still got plenty we got to fix. But I'm grateful for my great-grandfather doing that. I believe the Holy Spirit was leading him to do that. But I was in the house the day. I remember I went in my little Superman pajamas. I used to run from our house that was a little ways down. I'd run through the woods. I had me a little trail in my Superman pajamas. I wouldn't even put on clothes because I wanted to get there for breakfast. Biscuits and homemade biscuits and everything. And I'd run down there. And I remember they'd eat breakfast. My papaw, he would go out into the, they always had a garden. He always had, you know, hogs and chickens and cows. And I mean, he was just working. And I mean, he was probably, he had to be in his 80s. He lied about his age. So I know he was in his 80s, but he told everybody he's in his 70s, right? But I remember the day he died. He would go out and work, and they would come in. They always had an early lunch at about 11 o'clock, 11:30. And my great-grandmother, when I'm talking about had a lunch, it would be like Thanksgiving Day, right? I mean, every kind of vegetable you can imagine, potato, you know, just everything. So I was up there for lunch. But usually I'd go up there before I started school. I'd go up there in the morning. I'd play up there all day. But I remember my grandpa coming in, being hot. And I remember him sitting in a chair, and I was like, he looked like he didn't feel good. And I was looking at him. I was sitting straight across. I said, something's wrong. And so he would always eat lunch and then go take a nap for a little while, and then he'd come back out and go back out in the field and work. And he went and take a nap, and he died of heart attack in his sleep. And, of course, next thing I know, I hear Norley and Zola, my great aunts, that were his daughters, screaming. And my dad, they sent me to run get my dad. I ran down and got my dad. He came up and tried to do CPR, but he was already gone. And here's what's wild. Now, all this chaos is happening, and I'm a little guy. And I'm watching all this. And my aunts are crying and freaking out, and everybody's freaking out. And I'm sitting there, total peace. I remember thinking, it's okay. And I was close to him. So there was no freaking out, no fear, no, you know, nothing. I understood perfectly what was going on, that it was his time and he was going to heaven. That was it. I knew. I had total peace. I was sitting there thinking, what's wrong with all these people? Why? I was even my Shannon, my cousin, I was just had my arm around her at one point trying to console her because she was about two freaking out. Two or three. Well, yeah, something like that. So what I'm saying is, pray for your children. Put the word of God in them. And trust God that he will be with them no matter what they have to go through. You understand? I can't, you know, if I'm going to express one thing to you today, is how important it is that you pray about everything and over everybody. None of those prayers, no matter how short, are missed by God. Lord, protect my child. Reveal yourself to them. Help them understand the truth of who you are. Keep them from evil. Keep them from wicked people harming them. All those prayers are important. Just like we were flying the other day. I don't take it for granted about anything. Lord, put your angels around this plane, on the plane, under the plane. And honestly, think we saw one out the window in the cloud playing around. I believe the angels are real, y'all. You know why? Because the Bible says so. And sometimes they show themselves. Folks, I gotta finish this. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And then he goes on, oh, truly, I love this. I am thy servant. I am thy servant. He says it twice. I'm going to serve you, Lord. The son of thine handmaid, and I love this part right here. Thou hast loosed my bonds. This is when you come out of this darkness. The Lord has loosed my bonds. But the devil's tried to bind me up. The Lord has loosed my bonds. He's loosed these chains. Therefore, he says here, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord. Now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. So he said, this isn't something I'm going to keep secret. I'm going to tell everybody in church. I'm going to praise God before his people. I'm going to share my testimony. I'm going to talk about how God brought me up out of this miry pit. Turn to one more passage this morning. You're going to get off easy today. Psalm 40. I love these first few verses here. It's called a song of deliverance. This is a psalm of David. And hear what he says. I love this. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And of course, this psalm goes on to talk about, all of a sudden it switches and it's Jesus speaking and it's prophetic about Jesus. But I waited patiently for the Lord. And now he said, he pulled me out of this miry pit. And I love it. He said, he's put a new song in my mouth. And you know, that doesn't just mean it's a song that's never been before. But it's a song now you're singing because you got a reason to sing it. You're singing because the joy has returned to your life. The peace of God's returned to your life. Let me tell you, this morning when I was singing back there, even though all these songs I know, they're none of them new to me. It felt like I was singing them brand new again. Because it's wonderful. I'm telling you, I'm experiencing being pulled up out of the pit. I'm enjoying the light. And that's what we got to remember. Rejoice in the, what did Paul say? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. No matter what you're going through. But there is a season, if you hold on, that he brings you out. And when he brings you out, tell everybody. There's no closet Christians. There's no secret Christianity. It's all to be out here. Your testimony, what God has done, share it. Speak it. Amen? Because, listen, I know the Lord's told me over the years, there's times that I've been through things and I would say, Lord, why is this going on? And he would say, son, you have to go through this so you can help others. Oh, I've heard him say that to me several times. Not what you want to hear. You have to go through this. You don't get to go around it because you have nothing to share. You have nothing by which to encourage others that, yes, I went through this. It was difficult. It was mentally and emotionally and physically exhausting and painful and difficult. But I hung on to Jesus, and he brought me through it. And now things are way better. You know, a lot of people commit suicide. You know why a lot of people commit suicide? It's because they believe the lie of the devil that it's never going to get better. It's never going to change. But I'm going to tell you right now, it never will if you don't cling to Jesus and hold on and call out upon his name and get in the word of God and let him help you. That's why so many people are killing themselves, is because they can't live this life. They can't do it on their own. And when it falls apart, they got no help. There's no help. And there's no physical person, no human being that can help you the way you need help. You have got to have God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His blood and His Spirit in your life to help you. Because the darkness of Satan is real. The spirit of suicide, the spirit of death, those demons are real. And they will push you over the edge if you don't have help. And if you reject Jesus Christ or resist His word, His truth, you are going to head down into trouble. And this is why you think all these young people out here, well, they're dabbling in this darkness, dabbling. They're being, you know, they're being lied to believe in these lies. Oh, you can be, you know, you're a girl, but you can be a boy. Or you can be homosexual and they're getting into the, or play with witchcraft. Who was it that was telling us? Yeah. Somebody yesterday was telling us about walking out of a store and hearing a group of young people talking about how they were getting into witchcraft. Oh, you're going to, I mean, just talking about it. Yeah, we need to find a place to have a new place to have our meetings, and we need to find some new books of spells, and just having this whole conversation. And they have no idea the door they're opening to evil and darkness. And one day, that door they've opened, those spirits that have come in are going to say, kill yourself. There's no hope in this world. You got no help. You see, in a little bit of sense, the devil's telling the truth about that. You don't have any help if you don't have Jesus. This is what you need to understand. People out there, you're unsaved, young people especially, you need to understand something. You're not invincible. You're not invincible. You don't understand the forces of darkness that are arrayed against you. And that's just if you're just a normal young person. You start dabbling in homosexuality, transgenderism. You start dabbling in witchcraft and Satanism or the New Age and the occult, crystals and meditation and visualization. And you start playing with all that stuff. You're going to open a floodgate of hell against you. And then if you don't have Jesus, you got nothing to fight with. Nothing. And your only hope is that someone around you is a true born-again Christian and they're praying for you. That's the only hope. A lot of people don't realize that's the only reason they're still living, that they're still surviving, that they haven't been killed or driven crazy by demons. It's because somebody was praying for them. And that's, again, I come back to this one last thing. That's why it's important every day. Paul said to the churches that he started, to all those Christians, he said, I make mention of you in my prayers every day. Can you imagine his prayer time? It probably took a little while. But I love that when he said, I make mention of you. It's not sometimes you have to pray for somebody for hours, but just mentioning them, saying, Lord, you know, I know this person in my church, they're having a hard time. They're going through this. Lord, please just be with them. Just strengthen them. Just help them. Just deliver them. Just say a little prayer for everybody. I go through all of you a lot, and name by name, praying for you. This is why we need each other. And the Apostle Paul, he didn't think he was some big shot. He said, please, he begged. The churches, the Christians, pray for me. Please pray for me. He knew he needed that to overcome the forces of darkness that he was always fighting. He needed the prayers of the people of God. Amen? Let's stand this morning. Oh, let's see. What song was it? I want to do this song here. I want to do the Honey in the Rock song. That's right. Before we go. You know why I like this? It's because who's the rock? Jesus. Now, what does honey represent? Honey represents, remember when Saul had incorrectly demanded everybody fast, right? And Jonathan is like, you got soldiers in the process of a battle or hunting somebody down. They don't need to be weak. But Saul was stupid and being interfered with by evil spirits. But Jonathan, his son, remember they found some honey and ate it? And he said, my eyes are open. See, honey represents the strength. It can give you the burst of strength and the burst of revelation, your spiritual eyes being open, that you need. And Jonathan, of course, because he received that strength and opening of his eyes, he was able to go fight and win a battle that they needed won against the Philistines. Saul's stupid order, don't eat, was stupid. He said people that eat, they were going to die. And his own son didn't know the order and ate the honey and was able to get the victory. And he's like, he said, well, Jonathan must die. And the people said, what are you, crazy? He just is the one that won the battle for us, right? But the honey is important. It's that symbol of spiritual strength and revelation that comes from it. That refreshing when God meets with you and he speaks to you and he reveals things to you. And that's why I love this. It's because, you know what? Jesus is all we need. And he said that if you will love me and obey me, I will come and manifest myself to you. You will hear my voice, and you will follow me. So let's do this right here.
There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know. Everything I need, you got. There's honey. It's not hard to see. Oh.
Somebody give him praise. Come on, give him praise in this place. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. You are the rock, and the honey comes out of the rock. Lord, you have everything that we need. You are all that we need. We worship you. We exalt you today. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. Lord, I know that word you gave me this morning is for somebody in here and somebody out there watching. There were people that, Lord, needed to hear this today. And I pray you will comfort them and you will strengthen them, whatever trial they're going through. And that you'll begin, as they call upon your name, Jesus, you'll begin to pull them out and bring the peace and the joy again and the healing and the strength, and that you'll put a new song in their mouth. Lord, we thank you for that there are times of refreshing that come from your presence, Lord Jesus. We exalt you and we thank you for it today. And somebody go ahead and give the Lord praise one more time. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We thank you, Jesus, that you don't leave us or forsake us, that you will bring us out. Bring us through. Amen? Well, y'all know the drill. Well, I guess we better say this. You know to hug some necks before you leave. Skyfall, let me just put it up right now. How many of this registered? She didn't tell me this morning. My wife was busy this morning. 336, that's registered. Friday night, of course, is going to be more than that. But here's the thing. I want to say this. Registration is open. Even if you walk up to the door at the beginning of Friday, you can register. And I want to say this. For those of you out there, maybe nearby or whatever, far, whatever, I guess, but if you're still contemplating coming, I want to say this. If you're coming for Friday night only, I understand, but here's what's going to be. The people who have registered for the whole conference are going to have priority seating. Whatever's left, we fill that up, and then that's it. So what I'm saying is that if there's 700 seats, that's it. So if you want to make sure you have a priority seat, then you better register. If not, if you're just going to come on Friday night, you're taking a chance, but I'm just letting you know you're taking a chance. You may drive a long way, and that's it. And look, I know people say, well, there's a $25 registration fee. It ain't about us making money, because that's a T-shirt. You get a T-shirt with that, too. But that right there, so we don't have fake registrations. And we've had fake registrations in the past, so we can't do it for free. Or we would. We did our first conference for free, and we paid a price for with all those stupid fake registrations that we had to deal with. Yeah, and you have to do registration and how to prepare for conference. So what I'm saying is that, because I wish we could do it here, but we couldn't fit everybody in here. It's just not going to happen. You know, maybe one day we'll have a building where we have a room where we can get everybody in, but we don't have that. So anyway, I just want to say, I'm just letting you know, I'm not trying to force anybody to do registration, but if you want to secure your seat for sure, if you're coming from a long way, and just coming on Friday night, it's probably still better to register. But if you don't have to, all right, and it would just take your chances of seating. Now, we could have 700. We could have less than that. We could have more than that. I have no idea what's going to happen, all right? So I'm just letting you know. But registration is still open, and if you walk up to the door and decide you want to register, you can register there. They'll be handling that. All right, so Fire and Grace School of Ministry, yeah, need to get your applications in. If you're looking to get into Fire and Grace School of Ministry, you have to have your application in by August the 1st. So that's going to be coming up pretty quick. And your references in by August the 1st. So you better get on it. You got, yeah, in the mail by August 1st. Yeah, by us. Okay, by us, to us, whatever. So fgministryschool.com, go to fgministryschool.com. We will be doing graduation on Sunday. Sunday, June the 4th is going to be, we'll have our Sunday morning service. We'll have lunch. We'll do the graduation. And then we'll come back here that evening for baptism. So if you register for lunch on Sunday, that's true. That I should let you come up here and do this, shouldn't I? Lunch for all. No, you got to register for it. All right. Yeah, it's closed now. But that's primarily for those that are staying for graduation or part of graduation anyway. But, all right. So, also, let y'all know, we did get the book. Finally got it printed, the Holy Spirit, Tongues of Fire book. Little booklet I wrote in 2007. Nancy re-edited and made sure everything was correct. And so I've been wanting to have it in print for years. So we'll have it at the conference. And hallelujah. All right. I guess that's all the news I have. It's good to be saved. Amen. Amen. All right. So let's say, y'all, say bye to everybody. Bye, y'all. See you at Skyfall, I hope. All right.